If you take your Bible this morning, you know, one of the blessings, neat things about being a guest preacher is you just get to preach from wherever you want. And so this morning we're going to go to one of my favorite passages in the scripture. And I praise the Lord, you know, even as we begin, I thank the Lord for the hymns that we sang this morning. Because God put that all together. The first hymn that we sang was Constantly Abiding, which speaks about, it's from John chapter 16, where Jesus says, My peace I give unto you. And then we sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus, after we got to the right one. And then we sang It Is Well With My Soul. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. That it can be well with your soul every day of the week, no matter what. No matter what. Not just when it's springtime and the sun is shining, but every day of the week, no matter what, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, you can say, it is well with my soul. And I want to bring your attention this morning. We want to look at in an account in the Bible. I don't like to use the word story because sometimes we use the word story. People think, well, this is a, you know, a made-up story. No, this is a real account. This really took place. This is as real as you and I are today. And it's in Mark chapter 4. It's a very familiar story. Whoops, account. And it's in verse 35 down through verse 41. And Jesus is with his disciples. You know, these disciples spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were continually with him. And in John, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, the Bible says this. And the same day, when the even was come, or when it was getting later in the day, it was evening, it was getting toward nighttime, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was also in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then chapter 5 and verse 1 is very, 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 very important. Because it says, And they came over unto the other side. Bible doesn't leave us in the middle of the sea right there, in the midst of the storm. They came over to the other side. Jesus said to them, Let us go over to the other side. And they came over to the other side. Now in the middle of it, a great storm arose. And the Bible says in verse number 39 or verse number 38 that they awake him. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In verse 40, he says, And why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open your word to us and teach us, encourage us, and even challenge us this morning about our faith in thee, that we might with full assurance be able to really say from the depths of our heart it is well with my soul. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 56 in verse 3 says this, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, fear and being afraid is a reality of life, isn't it? Just nod up and down once in a while to let me know you're alive, okay? It is. And I don't mean about like natural fears. I'm afraid of heights. Now, many times I try and overcome that fear, but really I'm afraid of heights. When I went to first year of college, I was at Baylor University down in Texas, Waco, Texas. And there was a river down there called the Brazos River, big river. And there was a big tree, a dead tree on the edge of that river that all the college kids would go out there because it was so hot down there. And they would climb up to the top of this tree and then they would jump into the river. And so one day I went down there with the rest of the group that went down there. And you know, it was climbing that tree was like standing in line at Disney World or something. You know, everybody's climbing up this tree and there's one right after another. So I got in line and I'm climbing up this tree and I get to the top and I chickened out. I mean, I get so scared. I'm up in this tree and the tree is kind of shaking because everybody's climbing it. I'm looking down at this water and I did the most embarrassing. Well, I don't really get embarrassed, but probably at this time I was a little bit embarrassed. But I climbed down that tree around other people. You know, everybody's climbing there. Here's this chicken climbing down. Because all of a sudden I got so scared of being up there, I wasn't going to jump. Later on, before the year before we got married, I was looking for a job. I thought it was a good idea that get a job before we got married. That little intelligence here. And I didn't have a job, so I was in New Hampshire. And I get a job. It was with a cable TV construction company. And so you know what I had to do? I was one of these guys that had to climb poles. Not with a bucket truck. Just with those two little pointy spikes that they strap around your legs. And when they teach you to climb those poles. And by the way, when we were learning, there was no such thing as OSHA. So it was just, we're going to learn, we're going to do this, and we're going to work and get things done. And so they told you, listen, you're going to walk up these poles with these two little spikes. And they said, walk very lightly. The weight of your body will just naturally put the spike in, keep you, and you can just climb right up this pole. And then they said, when you get to the top of the pole, put the belt around. Nowadays, they teach you put the belt around at the bottom so you're secure going all the way up. Back then, they didn't. They said, listen, we got to do this fast. Well, I was always so afraid that I didn't learn from the instructor, and I'd be walking up that pole going, boom, boom, jamming those things in. The only problem was I couldn't get them out, and I would get stuck. And I remember one day that we were, you climb a pole like these ones out here, you're only up about 20, 25 feet. But then you come to a pole, and you just go down the road sometimes, look, there's times where you come to a road and there's an overpass going. And there's a pole that starts down on the lower section and goes up 30 feet beyond the overpass. And so we had to climb those. And they were about 50, 60 feet up in the air. That was bad enough, but then we were kind of a crazy crew of guys. And it was, and I remember this, wintertime. And I'm climbing up this pole and my friend is throwing snowballs at me. And I'm not talking about that fear. I'm not talking about being afraid in that regard. I'm speaking about the fear and being afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Or what's going to happen the next day. What's going to happen because of this situation. Or what's going to happen because of this. Whether it's health or finances or work or just family or personal issues or people. There's a lot of reasons why we can be afraid, why we can fear. And you know, a lot of times in the Bible, We see accounts where the Bible says there were a lot of times where people are afraid. Probably the one that we think of the most is when Israel is standing and Goliath is there. And all of Israel is in fear. They're afraid. There's this giant. And what are we going to do? And the Bible says they were just in total fear. But you know, we're not going to spend time looking at why we're afraid or how many times people are afraid. But instead, we're going to look at the answer to our fear. Why we shouldn't be afraid. Because many times, there's a number of times in the gospel where Jesus says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. In fact, there's this account in Mark chapter 4. And then we're going to look briefly at two other accounts just as we go through this in Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 6. But there's three accounts right in a row, one right after another, where Jesus is teaching his disciples, listen, you don't need to be afraid. And the reason is this, because the disciples are with the Lord Jesus. He's with them. But later on in John chapter 14, where Jesus is about to go and die on a cross for their sins and be buried and then, yes, rise again from the grave. But after that, he's going to ascend back into heaven and he's no longer going to be visibly present with them in their life. He says, I'm going away. I'm departing. I'm not going to be with you like I was. You're not going to turn and see me right there. In 1 John chapter 1, John says, we saw him, we touched him, we heard him, we were with him. But in John chapter 14, he says, it's going to be different. I'm going away. I'm going to die on a cross for your sins. I'm going to raise again from the grave victoriously. But then I'm going back to heaven. And you're going to live by faith. And the first thing he says in John chapter 14 and verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that's the message that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. But the reason I go back to the Gospel of Mark here in chapter 4 and even in chapter 5 and chapter 6 is because before he said those words, he gives them proof. The reality of what he would promise. He's already giving them evidence of the fact that they can believe in him, that they can trust him so that they don't need to be afraid. And in Mark chapter 4, and Mark chapter 5, and Mark chapter 6, we see that. But I want to take this morning, and I want to start with Mark chapter 4, because in Mark chapter 4, there's three reasons why we don't need to be afraid. And you know, life is challenging. There's so many times where something could just come up that could cause us to begin to be afraid. And the Bible says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And Jesus says, you don't have to be afraid. And in Mark chapter 4, in this account, there's three important reasons why we don't have to be afraid of life. Why we don't have to be afraid of circumstances. Why we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow or the next day. Or the next week, or the next month, or the next year. And it will help us in our daily walk. It'll help us as we go through life. Because when we are afraid, and when we fear, boy, I tell you what, that slows us right down to a stop, doesn't it? That's where you can nod again right there. It does, doesn't it? It just brings us right to a stop. And all we can think about is what is in front of us. And you know, when we think about those things, usually we let our mind take us to the worst of the worst of the worst of what could happen. Right? And Jesus says, wait a minute, hold on. You don't have to be afraid. And so let's look this morning at three reasons why we don't need to be afraid. Now, for the sake of your notes, I have 3 points. And I started with using 3 P's for the points. But then I says, you know, everybody always uses P's for points. So I adjusted my points a little to make it a little better for your notes. So they start with an A and then a P, just like A and P, all right? So the first point is this, why we don't need to be afraid. And it's this. Because we can be assured of His presence. Because as a child of God, I can have the assurance of His presence. You know, something many times we miss in Mark chapter 4 is this. In verse number 35, he says, let, and then what's the next word? What is it? You know, I heard a couple of people, but let who? Us. Now, I'm not an English student, and I never was good in English, but I know this. If I say I, that means me. If I say us, that means we. Right? Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. He didn't say, I'm going over the other side. He didn't say, you're going to the other side. He said, we, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over to the other side. And the Bible says in verse number 36, when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And the first thing is, Jesus wants us to know. He wants us to be assured of his presence in our life every day, every moment, every circumstances. You go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and as he knows he's going to depart and go back to heaven, and he knows he's been with them. He knows they have been with him. And he knows he's departing from them. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Later on, down in chapter 14 and verse number 19, he says this to him. He gives them a promise. He gives them a promise. And in verse number 19, he says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. And I believe that's where that song comes from. There's a song. Because he lives, I can what? I can face tomorrow because he lives. But then he says this. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, and not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, and check this out, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a promise. I'm going away. He says, but you'll not be alone. I'll be with you. We are going to make our abode with you. And Jesus is promising them. He says, I will always be with you. And when you look at the scriptures, throughout the Bible, we can see the proof of this. You know, we could go back to the Old Testament. And you don't have to turn there, but Genesis 39, the account of Joseph. Joseph is cast into prison. And two times in Genesis 39, it says, when Joseph is cast in prison, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. You know, we could go over to Daniel chapter 3. Three men are cast into a furnace of fire because they would not bow down. And they're in this furnace of fire. And then the Bible says, and wait a minute, hold on. There's someone else there with them. And it was the Son of God in the furnace with them. But you know, Jesus says here, let us pass over unto the other side. And he was in that ship, in that ship with them. You know, if you go over to Mark chapter 5 for a moment, Mark chapter 5. You know, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is right there and they see Jesus. He's in the boat with them. He's right there. They turn and they see Jesus. But you know, there's times in our life where we can lose sight of that. When the circumstances get so dark that we can lose sight of that assurance of his presence. In Mark chapter 5, in verse number 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Wow, what a good thing, right? This man Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and help. Please come and help. And Jesus says, okay, I'm coming. And Jesus begins to walk with him. But then as the account goes on, as the story continues, they come to the place where this man lives, where his daughter is sick, where she's at the point of death. And as they arrive, in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And all of a sudden, the circumstances have gotten worse, folks. At one point in the beginning, he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, okay, I'm going to go. And Jesus begins to go with him. Jesus is with him. But all of a sudden, the word comes, why bother the master anymore? Your daughter is dead. And the circumstances get even darker. But look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know, we can be assured of his presence, but even when we are assured of his presence, there's times where it just seems like I know what the Bible says, but this is how dark it is. And Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. But you know, it gets even worse because in Mark chapter 6, if you go to Mark chapter 6, there's times where we lose sight of the assurance of his presence and we don't think he's with us. We think we're all alone. And we forget what he has promised. We forget, he says, we're going to come and make our abode with you. We forget the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 46, in this account, listen to this. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. So in this account, in the first account, you have Jesus in the ship with them. In the second account, you have Jesus with Jairus, but boy, it looks worse. It looks hopeless. And Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. In this account, he's on land. He sends the disciples away. He goes into the mountain to pray, which is a whole nother message in itself about how he intercedes for us. And then he sends them off in a ship, and they're alone in the ship. And guess what? Another storm comes up. But in this case, if they looked around in the ship, he's not there. Are they alone? Has he forgotten them? Has he forsaken them? No, because look what it says in verse number 48. You see, even when we think we're alone, we're not alone. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for all they saw him and were troubled, and immediately talked with him and said to him, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And he went up with them into the ship. You know, even when they thought they were alone, they weren't alone because, yes, he was there on the shore. But he knew exactly where they were. Listen, by the way, isn't he the one that told them to get into the ship? Right? He's the one that told them to get in the ship. There's a whole nother message there, isn't it? He knows his thoughts toward us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring about an expected end. He told them to get in the ship. They get in that ship, and all of a sudden they're in the middle of the sea, and it's storm, and they think they're all alone. No, he saw them. He went unto them. He said unto them, be not afraid, only believe. And you know, Jesus has promised us. In John chapter 14, he says, we're going to come make our abode. But in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, Jesus said this, the promise is, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you know, when we go through life and all of a sudden something comes up in our life that throws a curveball at us, and our heart starts to tremble and our mind starts to race, doesn't it? Boy, that mind is a, you know, fascinating thing, isn't it? That all of a sudden you get a word or you get news or whatever. And all of a sudden your thoughts begin to race. You know what Jesus says to us? Be not afraid, only believe. Why? Because you're not alone. I'm with you. You're not walking alone. Folks, listen to me this morning. We are not going through this life alone. Boy, I tell you what, the person that walks through this life without Jesus Christ, they do have reason to be afraid. But when we understand and we're assured of his presence every day, every moment, we can say, like we sang in that hymn, it's well with my soul. Why? Not because I can do anything. Not because I can change the circumstances. But first of all, because of this, Because my Savior, the one that gave his life for me, is right here with me. And I'm not walking alone. And the first reason why we can be without fear, the first reason why we don't need to be afraid. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of reasons why we can be afraid. You think traveling to Peru is easy? I tell you what. There's a lot of reasons why you can be afraid going somewhere all by yourself to another country. There's a lot of reasons. But Jesus says, you don't need to be afraid. You just need to believe. You just need to believe. But then there's a second reason. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. There's a second reason. And here's something else that we need to understand. Very important. And it's why in this passage of Scripture, there's something that's put here. It's put here for you and I to understand about why we don't have to be afraid. Number one, we don't have to be afraid because of the assurance of His presence. But number two, we won't be afraid when we're aware of His peace. You see, in Mark chapter 4, they're in the boat. Jesus is in the boat with them. The storm comes up, and it was a terrible storm. A big storm, and the men are afraid. They say, Don't you care? Carest thou not that we perish? But they had to wake Jesus up. Because in the middle of the storm, listen, in the middle of the storm, Jesus is asleep. He's asleep. He's asleep. You know, the other day, Friday, I had to go for a PET scan. And you know what the worst thing about a PET scan is? You can't eat for 4 or 5 hours before that. You know what the best thing about a PET scan is? It's over and you can eat. First thing I did after the PET scan, I stopped at the service center on 95, went straight to McDonald's. I heard my pastor preach last Sunday about how good it is to get French fries and eat those French. You know what? I took his advice. First thing I did after PET scan, I stopped. I got a Big Mac. No, I didn't. I got a double cheeseburger and French fries. And you know, I was sitting there thinking, I'm sitting there eating those French fries thinking about his message last Sunday morning. And I came down those last little French fries and I sat there looking at those two last French fries thinking how good they were. But anyways, I had this PET scan and they, you know, so they lay you down on this and they, if you've never had one, it's interesting. They lay you down on this bed and then they strap you in. They put a strap around your arms so you can't move your arms. And then they put a strap around your feet so you can't move your feet. You know what I did? I took a nap. I fell asleep. The guy had to wake me up. He says, it's done. I said, it's done? He says, yeah. He says, you were sleeping. I said, great. So there it is. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And you know what he wanted them to see? You know what he wanted them to observe? You know, when they, in the middle of the storm, and this is why he said, why are you so fearful? Why don't you have any faith? He was with them. They should have been able to see, and we should be able to see. And we should be aware of something. We should be aware of his peace. They should have turned and looked and said, you know what? Hey, I know there's a storm, but you know what? If it's not bothering him, why is it bothering us? Right? If it's not bothering Jesus, why is it bothering us? And here's what Jesus says. Go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Because he also gives us a promise in John chapter 14. Look what he says in verse 27. Now remember, he's told them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I'm going away. It's not going to be the same. I'm going to have the victory, but I'm going back to heaven. You're going to be by yourself. You're not going to turn and see me visibly right next to you. He's, but be aware of this. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then he says this in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, not only are we going to be with you, he says, but I'm going to give you my peace. He says, it's not a peace that the world can give you. He says, it's my peace. My peace. You know, back in Psalm 3, one of my verses that's very encouraging is this. In Psalm 3, it says this. Look at verse number 8, or Psalm 4, excuse me. Verse number 8. Psalm 4 and verse number 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I will lay me down, both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know, one of the most calming verses to me is Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, the Bible says, what time I am afraid I will trust in thee. You know, Isaiah 26 and verse 3 is a key verse for me. When something comes up, the Bible says the Holy Spirit brings these things to your remembrance. Tell you what, the Holy Spirit brings that verse to remembrance to me all the time. And it says, if I keep my mind stayed on Him, He gives me peace. And we see the peace. The proof is in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The proof is in the testimony of Scripture. Because here he is in the boat. And he's asleep on a pillow in the back end of the ship. The ship is filling up with water. The ship was full of water. You know? I mean, you want to put it in practical terms of those of us that grew up in the 60s and 70s and 80s. You know, you could say this. They should have looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and realized, you know what? This boat just turned into a waterbed. And he's sleeping peaceably on the waterbed. Remember those waterbeds? Remember how comfortable they were? You know, that's Mark chapter 4. And he's asleep in the boat. You know, when Jesus is with those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, what's he doing? He's just walking around with them in the middle of the fire. You know what the Bible says in another portion of Scripture? Isaiah 43. Go to Isaiah 43 for a moment. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. What a precious passage of Scripture this is. Isaiah 43 and verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. You know, the same thing goes for us. If we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, he says, you're mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you know, the second thing, the second reason why we don't need to be afraid is when we are aware of his peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. Doesn't the Bible say in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. Right? And when we look at Jesus Christ, when we look at Jesus Christ in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that storm, he's asleep on the pillow. You know why? You know why Jesus Christ had such peace? You know why Jesus Christ was able to be asleep on that pillow? Because Jesus Christ knew what was going to take place. There's another passage of Scripture. It's the account where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And before Jesus feeds the 5,000, he says to Philip, Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? How are we going to do this, Philip? And then the Bible says in John chapter 6, he knew himself what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He asked Philip to see if Philip would trust the Lord that the Lord could do. Jesus is in the middle of this storm in this ship. But I think we read earlier that he had said something to the disciples. Let us pass over to the other side. Now, when you just stop and put that into the context of all of Scripture, and the character of God. You know, if Jesus hadn't passed over to the other side, nothing else about Jesus Christ would be considered true. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He had to fulfill that just to prove that he was the Christ, right? And so, number two, be aware of his peace. He knows. He knew himself what he would do. He's going along with Jairus in Mark chapter 5. He knew his daughter was sick. Jesus knew he was going to raise her from the grave. Mark chapter 6. He knew the disciples from the boat all by themselves. He knew he was going to go to them. Listen. The book of Isaiah, the Lord says to Israel, why do you think that your way is hid from the Lord? Why do you think your way is hid from the Lord? Folks, listen to me this morning. If through the Scripture we see the peace of Jesus Christ, because he knows the beginning and the ending of all things, he is the beginning and ending. Here's what we need to be aware of. He knows the same thing for my life. I don't know tomorrow. I don't know the next day. I don't know next month. Before I went to Peru this last time, I had a few people that said, you know, be careful of mosquitoes. You could get malaria. Right? Guess what? I didn't see one mosquito in all my time in Peru. Not one. I was on a plane, and I said to I was talking with a missionary that I met on the plane, and we were talking about that. He says, "No, you don't have to worry about malaria." He says, no one over here worries about malaria. Then he says, "But you should need to worry about the dengue fever." He says, "Because you can get that." Then he says, "Nah, don't even worry about that." He says, "God has you right where he wants you." And I said, "Thank you." You know, God put a missionary in the seat next to me on the plane just to reassure me that I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be afraid. And you know what? He wants us to be aware of his peace. His peace. He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." But the third thing, and you know, the third thing, it comes third. But also in Mark chapter 4, you know, it's almost like an afterthought in the story. Because if we're short of his presence and we're aware of his peace, then before we even get to the rest of the account, we can say it's well with my soul. You know, folks, listen. This is how important this is. If I'm assured of the presence of Jesus Christ in my life, and if I'm aware of his peace, that he knows everything, then even before I go into the operating room, I can say it's well with my soul. Right? I can. Because as we'll see in this next point, who's in control? Jesus is in control. And the third thing we see here, the third thing we see is what we always want to jump to first. And many times we want to just jump beyond the assurance of his presence. We want to jump beyond the awareness of his peace. And we just want to quickly jump to this third point, which is, it's true and it's powerful and it's important. But the first two are the most important. But the third one is this, the acknowledgement of his power. That with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. But you know what? Before I get to that, I can already say it's well because he's with me. Because he knows everything. And he is peace with everything that's going on. He is our peace. And he gives us peace. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, he arises, rebukes the wind, says unto the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there's a great calm. And you know, that's where we always want to jump to. When the Lord says, "But I want you to start with being aware of my presence. I want you to just, or assured of my presence and aware of my peace." He says, "But, yeah. The acknowledgement of my power, I am able to do all things. There is nothing too hard for me." And he says, "I can arise. I can arise. I can, with my voice, calm the waves and still the storm." And he says, "But also my grace will be sufficient for you. Every day in every circumstance." You know, you go back to the life of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and then how does it come about? How does it end? Well, Joseph's sitting in a position of authority, and God uses Joseph to preserve the whole nation of Israel. You go over to the book of Daniel, just two examples. You go to the book of Daniel. Jesus is in the fiery furnace with those three men. And they come out There's not even a smell of smoke on them. Their clothes aren't even singed. They've been through the fire, and the fire hasn't touched them. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands up in this boat, and he just simply says, he rebukes the wind and the waves, says, "Peace, be still," and it's still. You know, you go over to the next chapter, and chapter 5, and it comes to the house of Jairus. The people come, and they say, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Thy daughter's dead." And Jesus turns to Jairus, and he says, "Be not afraid, only believe." He goes into the room, and he turns to that little girl who's laying on that bedside dead. And what does he say? He says, "Arise." Guess what happens? Hey, guess what happens? What happened? She what? She what? She arised. Or rose. Or risen. Whatever the proper English is. She got up. Right? I mean, Mark chapter 6, what happened? Right? He's coming to the... He's walking to them on the water. He says, be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid. And look at verse 50. He went up into the ship. And this time he didn't even have to say anything. He goes in the ship, boom, calm. Wind ceased. Right? But go over to John chapter 16. Because remember, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "I'm going away. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. I'm going back to my Father in heaven. You're going to be by yourselves." He says, be assured of our presence. We're going to be with you. I'm going to give you peace. My peace I give in you." And then he says in John chapter 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." In the world, yeah, you're going to have tribulation. But then he says this, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, wait a minute. What will stop? Verse 33. He hasn't gone to the cross yet, folks. He hasn't died. He hasn't been buried. He hasn't risen. He says, "I have overcome the world." You know what he's telling them? He says, "Listen, I've been with you for all this time. And I've had victory over everything already." He says, "Every circumstance, every situation." He says, "I've overcome the world." And yes, he would go to the cross. And if we were to go to 1 Corinthians 15 that speaks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is the greatest enemy we face is death. Greatest fear we have is death. And Christ arose from the grave and defeated death. He defeated sin. And sin is the reason why we fear death. Because of the judgment to come. And he says, "I've overcome it." In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And he says, "I've overcome it. I've overcome it." And you know, he is all powerful. And when you go back to Mark chapter 4, listen. He is able. Number one, he's able to give us peace in our lives. He says, "My peace I give unto you." Listen, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And Jesus says, "I'm able to give you peace." He says, "Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. I will give you," what? What? Rest, right? "Keep your mind stayed on me. I'll give you peace." He can give us peace. You know what else? He can take care of us through the storms. Right? He can take care of us through the storms. He took care of them through the storm. He took care of Jairus through the storm. He took care of the disciples again through the storm in Mark chapter 6. But more importantly, He can calm the storm. He can calm the storm, whether we're talking about the storm within my heart or whether we're talking about the storm outside of me. Because He is able. He is able. Listen, there's no illness that we ever face that He's not able to heal. There's no physical problem you'll face that He's not able to heal. There's no situation that He's not able to take care of. There's no circumstance that's too great for our Savior. And He is able. He's able to rise up and say, "Peace, be still." And it'll be calm. Right? My brother back there, right? Right, Charles? Your testimony is amazing, isn't it? From many years ago, remember? And God did a miracle in that man's health. And he is alive today. Because he trusted in God, and God proved himself faithful. But whether God heals or doesn't heal, He says, "I'm still with you. I'm not leaving you. You don't need to be afraid." He says, "My peace. I know your way. I know my purpose. I know what I'm going to do in your life." And then thirdly, He says, "We're going to the other side. I'm going to bring you safely through. I am going to bring you safely through." Folks, He has promised to bring us safely through to the other side. That's what He's saying in John 14. He says, "I'm promising to bring you safely to the other side." Will there be storms? Of course there'll be storms, right? I mean, listen, I know spring is supposed to be here, but they're talking about a lot more rain coming. Right? But I tell you what, as much rain as comes in April and beginning of May, just remember this. June will be right around the corner. And you know what you're going to be doing in June? The same thing I'm going to be doing. Oh boy, I wish it would rain. Right? Because we're going to get to June and we're going to say, "You know what? Didn't think it would ever come," but all of a sudden, you know how it is in Connecticut. We go from winter and then spring, which really is the finish of winter, and then all of a sudden we wake up one day and it's 90 degrees. Right? Hey, you know what the Lord says? "I'm coming again. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. But He says, I'm going to bring you safely." Hey, just look at one more verse, chapter 5 and verse number 1. You know what? They came over onto the other side of the sea. They came over into the other side. And you know what Jesus is teaching them? He's teaching them the same thing He wants to teach us. He's teaching them what He said in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He's teaching them what He said to Jairus. Listen, even when you're going through a storm, even when it looks dark, even when you think you're all alone, He says, "Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe." But you know, it starts with having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. It starts with having peace with God. It starts with having the assurance that you are saved, that you have trusted Jesus Christ, that God has forgiven you, that God has given you eternal life. And how blessed that assurance is to know that I'm saved because then I know he is walking with me. I know he has given me peace. I know he will bring me safely home to glory. But it starts with knowing absolutely that you're saved. You know, the Bible says you can know that. 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not think so, not wonder, but know that you have eternal life. And this morning, as we close, and I'm going to ask Ray to come up and lead us in a song, in a moment, we're going to pray first. But as we sing that song, we're going to sing Constantly Abiding, Ray, by the way. Constantly Abiding. It's number 819, okay? Constantly Abiding. But I want to ask you this question this morning, first of all. Do you really know that you're saved? Do you have that assurance in your heart that you're saved? If not, as we sing, as we stand and sing, I'd invite you to just come, and I'll meet you here at the front and have someone sit down and talk with you and just help you understand how you can know for sure that you're saved. But maybe this morning there's others here that you know you're saved. But boy, you've just been fearful. Why not come this morning and just thank the Lord for the peace that he gives by the assurance of his presence and the acknowledgement of his power. Let's stand and pray, and then Ray's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you give us that we don't need to be afraid. We can trust you. And we thank you for the example, Lord, not only of the examples that you gave as you walked upon this earth, but the example of your life, your death, your burial, your resurrection. That because you are alive, we can face tomorrow. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's not fully sure that they're saved this morning, that they would come as we sing so that we could help them understand how they can know for sure that they're saved. And Lord, if there's others, Lord, that are just fearful over something, that they would come this morning, just bow down before thee and cast their care upon you because you care for them. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.